good to go, Don.
Trustees. Welcome, everyone. 6 o'clock. Call the meeting to order for the regular school board meeting, Hillsborough City School District, October 13th, 2021, 6 p.m. We adjourned closed session. No action was taken. Reconvening to the regular meeting. Let's begin with a salute to the flag. Please rise and face the corner. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 2.2, approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda? I move that we approve the agenda. Second by Ann Chen. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Agenda passes unanimously. Item 2.3, approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, I move that we approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Gilbert. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Minutes approved unanimously. Item 3, regular reports. There we go.
I made him get some food.
That's I see. Okay. 3.1, HTA, Alec McKenzie. Mr. McKenzie, welcome. Come on in. It's perfect.
Hello, everybody.
You can use the podium one if you prefer.
Is it on?
Yeah,
yep.
There we go. Yeah, you're
all
on
right.
It.
Just as you came. Thank you anyway. Alec McKenzie here for HTA, and just a couple things. First of all, the members are very happy to hear that negotiations are going really well so far, and especially that an MOU was settled. That put a lot of people's minds at ease. There's a lot of stress going on about having to be out because of COVID issues, and that running out on September 30th through the state was causing a lot of stress for our members, and the fact that the MOU got settled to take care of that was wonderful. So a lot of positive feedback from that. Sorry, I'm out of breath as I ran in here quickly. and just very pleased for a lot of positive feedback from our members that negotiations are going so well right now. And things seem to be going very well. Another positive report from me, from all members from all four schools, and we're looking forward to a wonderful Halloween season coming up. Everybody's getting excited for that. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. 3.2, CSEA, Dee Mooring.
Hi, Dee Mooring for CSEA. We also appreciate the MOUs because the, what Alex said. I really can't add anything to that. We appreciate it very much. And the kids today with the very first rain on recess, which is about 4 sprinkles, they actually survived it and played outside all the way through it. So we are really settled in, and the kids are so resilient, and they're really showing their resilience in adjusting to being back at school like this under the circumstances that we've all gone back with COVID still here and our full day. So things are going really well.
Great, thank you, Dee. 3.3, Courtney? APG, Courtney Bocci.
Hello. So APG has been very, very busy this month. We have a lot of things moving and shaking. We are working really hard to get the directory out to everyone. We've had a little bit of a snafu with our printer as of today. So we are working on that and trying to come up with a plan B for what is the best scenario for this year, but that should be coming out in some format in the next 2 weeks, I would hope. We are also working on pushing out the nomination forms for the 2022-23 Citizen of the Year and Community Care Award. You'll be seeing that going out in Hillsborough Living next month, as well as in our newsletters, and on Hillsborough Together and Nextdoor. We are also in the preliminary stages of planning a reception at Town Hall this spring in honor of our 2019-2020 recipients, Christy Shreve and Harini Krishnan, since they have not yet received their celebration. And we are also starting planning of the district office staff holiday luncheon. The date is going to be on Wednesday, December 15th. So stay tuned for more details.
Thank you, Courtney. 3.4, HSF, Bree McCall.
Good evening. I wanted to announce that the HSF Classic luncheon has sold out. So that's exciting. And so we're looking forward to that. On October 21st is tennis, and the 22nd is the luncheon. And also, I wanted to thank everyone for a successful Giving Day. Thank you to the site leads and principals for your support and having our volunteers on campus and having that celebratory green feeling. And many thanks to our Board of Trustees for your 100% participation in HSF also. Thank you for all of your support, everyone.
Thank you, Bree. 3.5, Superintendent Report. Luann Carlomagno.
Thank you, Trustee Geddes. So, great to see all of you here this evening. I just want to report on a couple things. First, I want to share that this is Week of the School Administrator. So, learned about that yesterday. And you will see that our administrators have these wonderful Starbucks because we love them a latte. And they just do so much tremendous work, and especially over the past 18 months with just everything that has happened with the pandemic and weekends and everything else. So just honestly can't thank them enough. And it also happens to be National Principals Month. So yay to our site principals, Heather Mata, Heidi Felt, Lena Butte, Maria Brady, and Dave Miller, who isn't here, our assistant principal. So a shout out to our site principals for National Principals Month. And then I just want to share a couple things that have been happening in the district. We had our Staff Professional Development Day on Indigenous Peoples Day, which was on Monday. And thank you to Matthew and Bhavna, who again really led the charge and so much of the work that was happening. We were focused on universal design for learning. We also spent time on giftedness, and we spent there was a training from Gender Spectrum. And so a lot of good work happening that day, and then time for collaboration and our educators to have time with one another and to really reflect on their practices and the work that they're doing. So good feedback from our professional development day. Also a shout out to APG and our parents who put together wonderful treats for our educators during conference week. It was just, I saw some of the photos and it was just amazing. So thank you for recognizing our educators, because those weeks are important for everybody, for our parents and our educators, and certainly our students. And so thank you so much to our parents and our educators for really spending time and digging into the data and really giving good feedback to our parents. So thank you for that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about diversity, equity, and inclusion in the district, just a tiny bit when I do my presentation. And I just want to share that in the Friday newsletter, I sent out a link to our DEI work in the district. So I hope you've had a chance to take a look at that. I'll send it out again this coming Friday. I think there was a lot of good work happening in the district. We had our core team met today with Lynette Kaplis talking about how we'll bring parents into the mix and the work we're doing. So it was great. And then Maureen's going to share our assessed property values are looking good. So trustees, you can look right behind you. You can see it where the yellow line. Thanks, Maureen. So the best we've had in the past 4 years, probably because I'm superintendent. So it's a little inside joke there. So anyway, just really appreciate the fact that we're starting at a good assessed property value. And obviously this is something that Joyce watches closely, and it can fluctuate at any time, but just glad to see that we're on the upper end of the curve there. So we take a look at that and update it every couple weeks and report at the board meeting. So I think that's it.
Thank you, Superintendent. Trustees, any questions or comments on the regular reports we've heard so far tonight? Any members of the public have any public comments on the regular reports? Seeing none, we'll move on. Item 4, current business. 4.1, HCSD goals and priorities for 2021 through 22. Luann Carlomagno.
Okay, so I'm going to go up to the, I think I'll stand up with the microphone up here. So. All righty, so I just want to take our trustees and our audience here
through the work we've been doing in the district with our goals and priorities. So let me take a look here. So let me back up. So in this document here, let me go ahead and present. There we go. So I just want to go over a couple points, and this is obviously linked in the agenda so everyone can access this online, but I just wanted to give you some of the definitions when we're looking at our goals and our priorities and action steps for this year. So you can read the definitions up here. And so we've really tried to be succinct and really define what we're calling a goal, a priority, and then an action step. And what I'm not going to go through these definitions, but for our trustees, I just want you to know that you have access to them here. So just if these acronyms come up, and for our audience too, you can just go to the presentation here and take a look at the definitions, because we tend to get going with acronyms and it's just not super helpful. So they're all listed here in case you need to take a look. And what I shared here is just the history of the work we've been doing, because we really have had a strategy about moving our work forward and not diverging and going into different paths and really being distracted from the core work that we're doing. So you could see that in 2018, we were really, we were a bit vague with our goals. Those were the goals on top, and our priorities are listed with the darker font. And so you could see that we are focused on student learning, professional teacher, educator learning, and providing safe, welcoming, and innovative learning spaces. That was 2018. And our priorities were SEL, collaboration, effective classroom teaching and learning. And then in 2019, we decided we needed to be a little bit more specific about our goals. So we kind of broke them out. We better defined the goals. And so they were a bit longer. We had 5 goals. But you can see that they still were aligned to the work that we were doing in 2018. And our priorities were innovation, instructional practices, and we really introduced multi-tiered systems of support that year. Although, really, kind of newbies on it, but we did introduce it that year. And then in 2020, these were our goals. So this was just last year, right? And what we really started looking at was adopting diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. So that really came to the forefront as one of our goals. And then again, looking at academic, social, emotional behavior, comprehensive professional development comes up every year. And then really looking at flexible learning spaces. And we realized this obviously was during the pandemic. And so health, safety, and wellness of our community took precedent over everything else we did in the district, right? That was what we were focused on, was health, safety, wellness. And then we still continue to look at diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then we really had to pivot and look at, I haven't used that word in a long time, our instructional practices for remote and in-person learning, right? So everything kind of took a little bit of a spin. And one of the priorities and one of the goals was really focused on innovation. And so by default, just having to survive through the pandemic, and not just survive, but thrive, innovation became everything that we did all the time. It was just how we operated. So that's just a little bit of history. So this year, again, kind of condensing those goals, focused on social, emotional, behavioral, academic needs of our students through multi-tiered systems of support and universal design for learning. And of course, doing this with a lens through DEI. When we had our PD day on, I'm gonna say like September, not this last one, September 3rd, Matthew's giving me the sign there. We shared this with our educators and asked for feedback, and we got about 50 comments back. And mostly I was asking them about how they saw diversity, equity, and inclusion fitting into the work, whether it was a separate priority or integrated. And so we really kind of did a combination of both. In our priorities, health and wellness, again, still an absolute priority for us. Operationalizing multi-tiered systems of support. What does it really look like and how do we implement it? And then learning, really building universal design for learning awareness as an instructional practice framework. So those are the priorities for this year. And this is a living document, so I'm not asking for the board's approval. I'm asking if there's any comments or feedback, because this keeps changing, right? We keep updating it as we do the work that we're doing. It's a live document, really. And so our priorities focus on health and wellness for students and educators. And we specifically list action steps here that are, just as I shared, they're specific steps towards how we're gonna address that priority. And we added, based on the feedback from staff, identifying culturally responsive practices that support student, staff, social, emotional health, and wellness. We added that as part of our DEI work. Our second priority, operationalizing multi-tiered systems of support. And I just want to remind everyone, when we talk about multi-tiered systems of support, it's like a pyramid, right? And the base of the pyramid is what we deliver, what we do with all of our students, right? It's best first instruction. It's universal design for learning. It's how we deliver content and curriculum and learning, how we learn with our students. That's all tier one. And so this is really focused on how we want to actually have that multi-tiered system of support come together for us. And there's a lot of specifics here. And again, deepen understanding of culturally and linguistically responsive and inclusive teaching practices. And then our third priority is really universal design for learning. This is Bhavna and Matthew really leading the charge here. And again, including DEI in identifying ways in which universal design for learning supports connectedness, inclusion, and student learning outcomes in the district. So those are our priorities, our action steps. And that was a quick overview, but happy to answer any questions or gather any feedback.
Trustees, any questions or comments for Luann? Members of the public, any questions or comments for Luann? Amy, can you grab a microphone or come to the podium? Yes, thank you.
So we'll just offer this. I am speaking as a representative of the RISE parent group right now. So RISE appreciates all the efforts that HESD is making in support of DEI. And while much of today's and the overall efforts are conversation on race, ethnicity, and gender, we feel it's equally important to prioritize abilities and neurodiversity in this conversation and dialogue. These are often invisible students that many differences who may or may not have a formal 504, IEP or 504 supports struggle alone and often go unrecognized and are often hidden. And their impacts on the social emotional health of themselves as well as the student population in the entirety are important. We're grateful that HESD is overall accepting and creating an environment that's accepting of these students and their abilities. However, we know that true, consistent inclusion takes partnership, thoughtfulness, and overall effort. We're grateful for that student culture. And we're grateful for the polite tolerance and limited bullying, and ridicule. And also, we believe that we can take it a step further. We would like to make sure that it's not more than just fitting in, physically being in the same room as these students who politely tolerate you, but we would like to make sure that education comes with understanding and inclusion and empathy. And therefore, we're asking respectfully that DEI include the RISE parent group at a seat at the table and on a steering level committee.
Thank you. Any other public comments on Luann's presentation on the goals? I don't see any, so thank you very much. Superintendent, we will move on to 4.2, exploring potential June 2022 general obligation bond.
Alrighty, thank you, Trustee Geddes. So I want to give a little bit of background, and I made some notes for myself because there's a bit of a timeline regarding possibly moving forward with a general obligation bond. And so looking back, February 2019, we really understood that there was a significant and extensive need for site improvements in the district. And those of you who are working at sites know exactly what I'm talking about. Which really came to light during the pandemic as well. So at that time, we actually hired QKA, which were architects, to develop a facilities master plan. And they came into the district and we had over 30 meetings. So it was a whole comprehensive meeting with stakeholders, and master plans were completed and then shared with the board and the community. And then February 2020, so we're just getting ready to, you know, hit the pandemic where everything kind of closes down. Seeing the clear need for significant upgrades to all sites, we began investigating moving forward with a general obligation bond that would, we had hoped at the time, go to the board or go to the voters in November 2020. And as this work was moving forward, the pandemic really took hold and really kind of recalibrated all of our thinking. And so we focused on, correctly so, health, wellness, and the safety of our district community, prioritizing getting our students back to school. That was like our full-time job for everyone. And then at that time, the board decided that we would wait to move forward with a bond and instead concentrate again our time, energy, efforts on protecting our students and staff's health and wellness. And then living and learning through the pandemic, we really found the need to upgrade our facilities. And most of you are aware that we, you know, the fans that went into the rooms, the different ventilation systems that we're still kind of navigating, all of those things, we had to put Band-Aids on many, many systems to make them work. And so we realized that our facilities are more critical than previously realized, including, as I just shared, upgrading heating, air conditioning, providing outdoor learning spaces, and expanding indoor learning spaces and more. So here we are, October 2021, and now we feel it's the appropriate and opportune time to begin exploring a bond measure feasibility if the board has any interest in placing a bond measure on the June 2022 election, right? So that would be the next time we could go out for a general obligation bond. And if interested, the next steps would be that I would contract with TBWBH. I have no idea why they have so many letters in their name. We worked with them previously, Charles Heath. Basically, I'm asking that, you know, we would look to do voter education about district facilities needs. We do an opinion poll, Godby Research. They're based down here in San Mateo County. And then we would move forward, and December 8th, we would actually present some poll results and make a recommendation to the board. And ultimately, the board would make a decision, I think before March, to decide if we would want to go forward with a general obligation bond. And so essentially on this item here, I'm asking the board to grant approval for me to move forward and investigate this, working with Charles Heath and Godby Research to make a determination about how we might want to move forward. That was a lot of information.
Trustees, any questions, comments, or discussion about a potential general obligation bond? No. Members of the public, any comments or questions about a possible general obligation bond? I don't see any. So the superintendent is actually asking for direction from the trustees. I would be in favor of having her pursue at least this first step of exploring and gathering data and coming back to report at a later time. Any other trustee comments? Greg?
I would support it as well, strongly. So.
Okay, that seems like a consensus there. So. For action, I don't know if we need a motion, but just for kicks, I will move to direct the superintendent to explore the viability of moving forward with the general obligation bond. You were looking for an amount as well, authorizing you to spend up to $36,000 for TBWBH and Godby Research. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll give it to Greg this time. Second by Greg. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
None. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Len, please.
Thank you, trustees. I'll keep you informed of next steps here.
Great. Okay, we'll move on to 4.3, HCSD grand jury response.
That's me again.
Also Luann, sorry.
Okay. So attached to this item, there are a few documents. There's a cover letter from the San Mateo County grand jury, and there's a report from the grand jury that was sent to us, to all districts in San Mateo County, building a racially and ethnically diverse teaching workforce, a challenge for our schools. And so our San Mateo County grand jury took on the charge of really looking at the demographics of our teachers and the demographics of our students across the county. And they reported out and then asked for our recommendations moving forward. And so the grand jury, so at the very base of this is, what are the challenges that the county faces in hiring a diverse workforce? And how can those challenges be mitigated? And interestingly, within our district, as part of our coherence document, our priorities and goals from last year were to do just that. As part of our DEI work, and Leilani was really taking the lead on this, it was looking at our hiring practices and how we get a diverse pool of candidates to come to Hillsborough. In general, very general demographics, we have about 35% of our students are Asian American. We have about 50%, 55% that are white. And then we have kind of a sprinkling of different demographics in our district. And so we're really looking at our teaching force mirroring the demographics of our students. And so in just a minute, I'm going to have Leilani share a little bit, so she might want to get the microphone and get ready in their get ready chair. And so essentially what I'm asking the board on this item is to approve the district's response. So there's recommendations, and we, as part of the response here, we basically talk about those recommendations and the district's response to those. And in general, we are supportive of the recommendations because we do feel it is important to continue to look at our workforce and mirror the demographics of our district. And so, Leilani, if you would, could you give us an update? Leilani's been doing a lot of work on this, and of course, because she's the human resources director, has been intimately involved with all of the numbers associated.
Yes, and of course, when the grand jury report came through, Luann looked to me and said, can you take a look at this? So I said, of course. So it also came around the same time that I had to report for the EEOC. So every other year, we report our demographics based on our hires for not this school year, but the previous school year. So we always... can become very frustrating as well when you think, oh wait, am I reporting this year's information? Kidding, but that's all aside. But looking at last year's data and recording that, I decided, okay, let's take a look at the time span from what the grand jury report gave us. So starting in 2018 is when I went back to our data because that's what the grand jury report gave us. And what I found was what we see in not just our county, but in our school district, it's not represented the same, where they have a much larger amount of people, the teachers that identify as white or classified as white, whereas in our school district back in 2018, we had 86% of our teachers that had classified themselves as white. And then by this school year, we've gone all the way down to 78%. So it's not that we're losing white teachers. I think we're getting a sprinkling of other ethnicities and races coming into Hillsborough to not just teach, but also learn. So as I was looking at the data, over the course of the 4 years, like I said, we have a decline of our teachers that are considered white, and then we also have an increase of both teachers and students that are identified as one of the various Asian cultures or ethnicities. So that was very nice to see that over the course of the past few years, we are increasing in areas that we want to, and so also what can we continue to do to have those numbers balance out, because even though our numbers with our teachers are higher than what you see comparatively to the state and to the county, we still want to be a little bit more balanced or have that more visible visible representation with our teachers. So yeah, that's what I found. And you know, like I said, it was very, very interesting to look at. Once, you know, it's one thing to look at it just based on the year and the year that the grand jury gives us, but to look at it over the course of time just in our district alone was very fascinating to see.
And And so the recommendation that I'm asking for the board's approval, the recommendation from the grand jury was by June 30th, 2022, school districts should include a commitment to teacher diversity and strategic plan goals and or objectives, use the strategic plan developed by the San Mateo County Office of Education as a guide. We have looked at those documents. And these aspirational documents should be publicly and prominently displayed on their websites. And my response is the district implemented this recommendation in October 2020 as part of our Hillsborough City School District Coherence Goals and Initiative documents, which is displayed on the district's website. And I gave the address. An updated 2021 coherence document that was still in draft form will continue to address our commitment to teacher diversity. And both of those documents, our diversity, equity, and inclusion plan and our goals and priorities, are on the front page of our website. So they're very prominent and the information is displayed publicly. So I ask for the board's approval for our response to send to the grand jury.
Thank you, Luann and Leilani. Trustees, any questions or comments on Hillsborough's response to the grand jury report? Kim.
I just want to say I appreciate the efforts and the priority, and that having a diverse workforce of educators, staff members, it makes a difference. It connects cultures, sets high expectations, it reduces implicit bias, and our students see themselves in those that are leading and teaching them. So thank you for making it a priority.
Public members of the public, any public comments on HCSD's grand jury response? Seeing none, would anyone care to make a motion? Gilbert?
Yes, I move that we approve the district response to the grand jury report on diverse teaching workforce.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Gilbert, second by Kim. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. Moving on to 4.4, ESSER 3 expenditure plan. Joyce Shen.
Hi. This is a federal money that comes as part of the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. The total grant we're entitled to is $234,224. To receive the fund or to be entitled for the fund, we have to submit a legal assurance to promise that we'll spend the money as required by June 25th, 2021, which we did. And then we also need to fulfill the requirements of a safe return to in-person instruction and continuity of a service plan, which is published on our website, not exactly the same name. So we met that requirement too. And the last requirement is to have the board review and adopt an expenditure plan by October 29th, 2021, and was submitted to the county. So the money with this total amount, $234,224, 20% of it must be used to address learning loss. So that's exactly what we did. And the goal, to summarize the goal or the requirement for spending money, is to use the funds to continuously and safely operate schools for in-person learning in a way that reduces or prevents the spread of the COVID-19 virus, as well as addressing the impact of the lost instructional time. Because only 20% was required to address learning loss, so the bulk of the money we used part of the money to backfill the additional janitorial services that the district has started to during the COVID time, which is continuing, just to make sure our facilities are clean and healthy for students and the staff. So the plan is there. Even with that part, we actually spent $17,338 to pay part of the long-term subs last year. And then for the 20% on instructional learning, that alone is $46,845. And we already spent $35,584 on some technical platforms for instructional purposes. One is a Greenfield learning for K-5 Lexia, and then the other is a New Zella for district-wide ELA. So the plan is to, for the remaining $11,261, we'll use it for intervention on math. And we don't have a detailed plan on that, but that's the goal here. District has up to September 30th, 2024 to spend the money. I don't think it will take us that long, but here's the plan.
Thank you, Joyce. Trustees, any questions or comments on the ESSER 3 plan? Members of the public, any questions or comments? We have a comment. Can you grab a microphone if that's possible or come to the front?
It's on, Joyce.
It's on already.
Okay. I think it's on.
Can you hear me?
Yep, okay. Great.
I would just encourage you to consider quick movement with regard to the learning loss, specifically in math. I was speaking to some of our Crocker teachers recently, and that is the most adversely impacted subject during COVID and during virtual learning. There are great gaps in learning, and as math compounds and builds on itself, this is a big, I believe it would be a measurable problem for students if you take a look at it right now to see how they're performing currently versus how they're performing prior year and the year prior to that. And you'll note that children will continue to suffer in performance regarding specifically in math if we don't repair it now, because they will continually, you know, have those learning deficits until we bridge those gaps. So I just urge you to move quickly with that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Bree. Any other public comments? This is an action item. Would anyone care to make a motion?
I move that the board approve the ESSER 3 expenditure plan.
A motion by Ann. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Gilbert. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. It's the ESSER 3 plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
4.5, variable term waiver for 30-day substitute. Leilani Bell.
Okay, so I'm bringing this to the board asking for approval for the variable term waiver for the 30-day sub-credential for the CBEST exam, where that's an item, a piece that needs to be passed when you're applying to be a substitute teacher or even a credentialed teacher. So looking at that and our need for substitutes right now, that seems to be a barrier for some highly qualified candidates. And I don't want that to be a barrier for them if we already know that individuals either have displayed proficiency in the areas that we intend to have them teaching with us. So I wish to bring forward this item to be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Leilani. Trustees, any questions about the waiver? Members of the public, any comments about this potential waiver? I don't see any, in which case I will move that the board grant a variable term waiver for 30-day basic skills requirement for substitute teaching. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Gilbert. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Leilani. That concludes the current business, so we move to the consent agenda. Do any trustees want to pull anything from the consent agenda? In that case, I move that we approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Chen. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. The consent agenda is approved. That brings us to item 6, public hearing for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have any items not on the agenda that they would like to speak on? And I see one in the back, if you wouldn't mind grabbing a microphone. Thank you, Jen.
Yep. Use my 3 minutes. Hi, Jen Salma. October is Dyslexia Awareness Month, and I want to elevate the discussion about dyslexia in our district and add a parent perspective to the conversation. My journey with dyslexia and my 8th grade dyslexic son has been long, windy, and full of challenging turns. About 2 years ago, I joined a local chapter of Decoding Dyslexia, a grassroots parent organization committed to enacting change in public schools. Decoding Dyslexia is in large part responsible for creation of the California Dyslexia Guidelines. It was also involved with the introduction of Senate Bill 237 this past year, which proposed universal screening for the risk of dyslexia in all kindergarten through second grade students. Senate Bill 237 did not make it to the governor's desk this time around, but look for it in the future. One of the areas I want to highlight is the need for teacher training in our district about dyslexia. After a private consultant told me she thought my son was dyslexic, I told his third grade classroom teacher. She said, "He can't be dyslexic. He reads above grade level." My son's sixth grade math teacher told me he was carelessly mixing up multiplication and addition signs. I told her, "That's a classic dyslexia mistake." And her response was, "Oh, I had no idea." At that moment, I thought of all the other dyslexic students who had passed through her classroom before my son, and other classrooms over the years at Crocker and North. Most teachers have little understanding of their dyslexic students' challenges. In this case, my son's neurobiology kept him from being able to distinguish between two very similar symbols. The plus sign, plus, and sideways becomes an X. Dyslexic students suffer an incredible loss of self-esteem and heightened anxiety. And these social-emotional difficulties are exacerbated when students are misunderstood by their well-intentioned teachers. As parents, we try to unwind this anxiety and low self-esteem at home, and it is overwhelming. Most researchers agree that the prevalence of dyslexia is 17.5% of the general population. Dyslexic students spend almost all of their time in general ed classrooms. If identified early and given explicit and direct literacy instruction, which I understand is our district plan, then less dyslexic students will need special education services. If all classroom teachers in the district understand their unique challenges, the unique challenges and strengths associated with being dyslexic, and have the tools to support these neurodiverse learners, kids like my son will have a very different and better journey during their years here in the Hillsborough City School District. Thank you for listening to me tonight.
Thank you very much. Any other public comments for items not on the agenda? I don't see any. Item 7, communications and board item discussions. Do trustees have any board item discussions to report? Ann Chen.
I just wanted to remind everyone that the Hillsborough Neighbor Fest is on Saturday, October 23rd from 9 to 12. And they're going to have, I think they're going to do the earthquake shake thing again, and they're going to have a passport. And if you get it stamped, then you get a gift at the end. So it's at North School. So if everyone could try to stop by. And then for the trustees, the San Mateo County School Board Association November meeting has been moved up to Monday, and it's at a special time. It's from 6 to 7:30, and Claire Cunningham will be one of the speakers.
Any other board item discussions? Communication? No, seeing none. We can move to item 8, public address concerning items on the closed session agenda. Do any members of the public have anything on the closed session agenda they wish to comment on? Seeing none, that brings us to item 9. We will have a closed session after this meeting. So we'll take a 10-minute break and everyone can say goodbye. But given all that, we will adjourn the regular meeting at 6:44. Yay!